Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, because we have a young man who is just doing everything the right way. His testimony is amazing, and what he has been through to get to his dream and to where he wants to go has really been a fight. And he's somebody that's willing to stick that fight out until the end. And I just know that we are talking to one of the most up and coming running back coaches in football right now. I think we already have Coach Kirk Broussard, most know him as Coach Kirk Brew, on the line. Are you with us, Kirk?
I'm here. I appreciate you having me on. How's it going?
Great, great. And as always, you know, I definitely appreciate the time, and we are excited to have you on tonight. I know this is your first time in the locker room. We have an audience of primarily aspiring players and their families, and they're definitely appreciative that you came on tonight.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm encouraged, you know, that, you know, the next generation, the future that we have coming up is going to be bright, and I'm very excited to be able to share, you know, a little bit about myself with your audience, and, you know, I appreciate the opportunity.
Definitely. So, you know, we've got roughly about 35 minutes, Kirk, and I want to give the kids enough time to really hear your story and your bright future, and really want to just get started so they can hear as much from you as possible. Let's get started about where you're from. So, you know, all the kids and parents that did not know Coach Brew, where did you originally grow up?
Okay. I consider myself a Florida boy. I grew up in Pensacola, Florida. But I also consider myself a New Orleans boy because I was born in New Orleans, and the majority of my family lives in New Orleans. And the section of Florida I moved to at a young age was very close to New Orleans, within 2.5 hours. So I frequented New Orleans. My father's from New Orleans. My grandfather, just a lot of my family is from New Orleans. But I did grow up in Florida, and I've been in Florida for the majority of my life. And so that's where I'm from, and that's where I claim home.
Okay. And when you were growing up and kind of coming up through the ranks in Florida, did you play any little league football in Florida, or did you wait until high school to start out with football?
You know what? It was kind of odd. Growing up, I was fascinated with football from the age of 5-6 years old. My uncles were big Miami Dolphins fans and big New Orleans Saints fans. And so I was always fascinated with football. I was just really captivated me at a young age. So I begged my mother to let me play Little League. I mean, I begged hard. But unfortunately, at a young age, I was really, really small. I was just a tiny kid. I was, you know, probably one of the shortest kids in my class. And I was not able, just, you know, from my mother's role, not able to play football at that time, you know, from a little age. When I did get to middle school is when I started playing football. Again, I reapproached her in the sixth grade and begged her to play. She would not let me play in the sixth grade, but she did let me be the ball boy. So I was a ball boy for the parochial Catholic school league. I was a ball boy in the sixth grade. And everyone on the team asked my mother, you know, why don't you let Kirk play? Because he is the fastest kid in the school. Every school I've ever been to, I've always been the fastest kid in the school. And I've bounced around to a lot of public schools, Catholic schools, you know, my entire life. So around seventh grade, she finally let me play. So really, I did have a brief experience in the fourth grade where I guess she kind of thought about letting me play, and then I got hurt, and then she pulled me out in the fourth grade. But my first true full season was in the seventh grade is when I got started. And it was a great experience. I played in the Catholic leagues, and I look back on that experience and the things that I learned and the things that helped mold me today, you know, as far as off the field, you know, a lot of these things I got from football, you know.
So you were having to fight to get into the game of football from the early ages, huh?
Definitely. My family is really, they're sports fans, but they're not really a big sports family. I'm the only person in my family that played any type of college football or beyond. And so, you know, it was a fight and a struggle. You know, I had to try to get my uncles to get on my side and try to lobby for me. And finally, she agreed that if I made the grades first, that I could play in seventh grade. And that was my first year. And I actually started out playing quarterback. I was the most athletic kid on the team. They put me into starting quarterback. And I just started tearing it up, you know, from day one.
Wow. So you started kind of in middle school, and you went off into high school. And everybody knows that there's so many talented kids out in Florida. What high school did you attend?
I ended up going to Washington High School, which was a great decision. And I love the decision I made to go to that school. But a part of me looks back on it with a little bit of regret. But it did shape me and help me with a lot of things. And the regret comes in is that I played Catholic school ball for middle school. And the Catholic high school recruited me there, which would have been a top-level education, and it was just a great opportunity academic-wise to go on to college, smaller classrooms and better attention as far as academics. And so they basically – I mean, it was an expensive school to go to, but they basically offered me to come there and keep a C average, and they would take care of the tuition. But I elected to go to the public school, the big school, the popular school, and I went to Pensacola Washington High School, which I love the school. I love the people. It's a great school, and I'm very proud to be from that school. So I went to Pensacola Washington, which was a 6A high school, the biggest classification at the time in the state of Florida, and that's where I spent my high school years at.
And it looks like we already have actually a caller on the line that wants to speak with you, and caller, we see you, and we'll get to you here shortly. Would you say that the high school that you went to, when you walked through the doors, did you know that you wanted to maybe play high school football and go to college one day? Did you have the intent to possibly play college football?
You know what, from kindergarten, I told everyone in my family that I was going to be in the NFL some kind of way. If it wasn't playing,
Wow. It
was going to be me doing something in football, period. So I knew at an early age that this is what I wanted to do, and I was focused on it. I had a plan B. My plan B was to be an investment banker. That was my plan B. But my plan A was to pursue football. And so when I got to high school, in the ninth grade I knew, but once again, my mother is big on academics, and she again said, hey, you got to prove yourself in the classroom first. So she actually made me spend my entire ninth grade year just focusing on academics. I wasn't able to play football, and it was a good thing. I mean, it helped me get a good foundation academic-wise. So I didn't play my ninth grade year. I just, you know, I had to sit out. Another thing, when I got to high school, you know, I was probably 5'2", you know, so I was very undersized. By the time I graduated high school, I spurted up 8 inches in high school, and I graduated at 5'10", and I'm now 5'11". But so I didn't really have the size in the ninth grade. I had the speed. I did run track in the ninth grade, and I was one of the fastest freshmen probably easily in the county. So I was able to run track and field, but I did not play football in my ninth grade year.
Well, that's definitely saying a lot if you're one of the fastest in the county of Florida, because we know Florida's got a lot of speed. We're with Coach Brew, Kirk Broussard, who is he's coached at all levels of football, high school, college, arena football, and recently as an NFL assistant intern with the Detroit Lions. Do you mind if we take a call real quick, Coach?
No, that'd be great. Let's see what we got.
1 second. All right, you're on with Coach Broussard. Who do we have on the line? Caller, can you hear us? Going once, going twice. You're on with Coach. Hello, there we go. Can you hear us? Oh, we might have lost him there, so that's unfortunately. Hopefully, call back, because we definitely would love to hear your question. So, Coach, you were working to get on the field when you were younger in elementary school, and then even in high school, your freshman year, you know, you had to concentrate on academics. Looking back on that, is that something that you think was a benefit to get you right on the right foot as far as academically in high school, or do you wish mom would have let you play as a freshman?
I feel like it definitely was a benefit initially. I think it's led into being a benefit. I think she came around my 10th grade year and allowed me to play. And I was always a mature kid. I went out and had my first job when I was 11 years old. I went out and found a job at 11 years old, like delivering papers. So she just knew I had that maturity. I was the oldest. I basically took care of my little sister, who was 14 years younger than I at the time. So she was a newborn. So my mom kind of backed off me and just said, you know, this kid's mature, I'm going to back off of him, which I kind of wish she would have stayed on me, because I started to drift off onto the wrong path eventually, like as far as just not focusing on my academics. And, you know, I felt like, you know, I earned it in the ninth grade. I got great grades in the ninth grade, and I proved it to her, but I didn't follow up with it. And that's what a lot of kids need to know. You need to finish what you start. And I didn't really finish it. Because the 10th grade year, you know, it's like, okay, great, I get to play football. So I'm actually playing, started off as a wide receiver, and it's my first year playing in the 10th grade. And I actually started off on JV, and my mom ended up, you know, kind of backing off and saying that, you know, this kid's mature, I can back off of him and allow him to do his own thing. And, you know, and the season went great. I had a great season, but my academics started to slip in that 10th grade year just because my mom wasn't on my tail like, you know, like I would have liked for her to be.
Gotcha. And it looks like our caller might be back here. Let's see if we can patch them in. 1 second here. You're in the Before You Go Pro Locker Room show with Coach Broussard. Who we have on the line? Looks like we have a 956 number. Can you hear us? Okay, unfortunately, maybe we have something going on.
Hello?
With our connection there. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Hello, can you hear us? Are you with us? Yes.
Yes, sir.
You're with Coach Terrence Wood and Coach Broussard. Who do we have?
Mario.
Hey, Mario. How's it going, boss? This is one of our young kids, Coach Broussard, that definitely he's been soaking up all of the Before You Go Pro nuggets of advice. And how you doing, Mario? How you doing tonight?
Good. Just listening up on what Coach has been saying on his
– Yeah, did you have a question for Coach?
Mostly when you're in high school, and like how you said your mom didn't let you play football, but you still work yourself out, work yourself to improve, and work to get yourself to the next level?
Yeah, my mom wouldn't let me play, mainly because she just said that I had to prove it in the classroom first. And once I proved it in the classroom, she would allow me to play the next season. And so I pretty much got majority A's and B's that first year of high school. And so I was able to play my 10th grade year. But, yeah, she's big on academics, and she just said I had to earn it first, and I didn't have a problem with that. You know, I was passionate about football, and it's what I really wanted. And I knew I had to have my grades before I could play. And, you know, there was nothing going to get in the way of me playing football. And so I buckled down in school, and I got it together.
And Mario was asking, did you still continue to work out, or was it all academics? Were you just so focused on academics that you didn't work out at all, or did you still kind of work out in preparation to play your sophomore year?
Oh, you know what? My cousin is a basketball player. He ended up playing college basketball. And him and I kind of grew up off and on together. Like, his parents were military, but oftentimes he lived back in Florida for a few years. We were basically workout junkies. We would design all these exotic type of workout training programs. We were doing plyometrics back in the seventh grade. I mean, we were trying to increase. Our goal was to dunk. We both wanted to dunk. He wanted to dunk. I wanted to dunk. And we were jumping boxes. We would have these regimens that we would basically draw out by hand, 10-week regimens. And we were pretty intense with the training. So my training never stopped. I live, eat, breathe training. So definitely I stayed trained, you know, because I knew I had to be prepared. I knew I wanted to come in and not just play, but I wanted to dominate like I did the Catholic leagues. I wanted to come in and play early.
Gotcha. Did you have any other questions, Mario? That was a good one.
Another question is, when after high school and everything, and when you went off to college, you still kept your work ethics and everything? Like how you said, like as you were like a seventh grader, you were doing all your pipe, you wanted to dunk and everything. Did you still keep your what's called your like you still kept it going?
Yeah, well, after high school, we started to kind of get sidetracked with other things, you know, whether it may have been girls or whether they've been partying or different things like that. I mean, we still worked out. We basically played basketball every day. If anybody's ever played a lot of full court basketball, we would go find these pickup games at like the top park destinations or top military based destinations in the city, and we would sit out there and play 10 games of basketball, you know, 3-4 days a week, and that's a workout. So, I mean, we continue to work out. Luckily after high school, I ended up moving to Tallahassee, Florida, and my neighbors at the time were Peter Work and LaVarnius Coles. They were players at Florida State at the time, and I ended up working out with these guys, just training in the off season, running hills. We ran a lot of hills. There's a ton of hills, and if anybody knows Tallahassee, Florida, there's a ton of hills. And so we would tie 45-pound weights to us, and we were running these hills just constantly. Like, I mean, we would be there all night, like several hours just running hills. And, you know, we probably overtrained, actually. But at the time, we didn't know. We just felt like there was someone else out there training, you know, while we weren't training, so we had to continue to train.
Great stuff. Thank you, Mario. We appreciate the call, buddy.
Sure thing, Coach.
All right,
thanks.
Talk to you later.
Appreciate it.
So, yeah, that's Mario, and he's actually a young player out in the Texas area, and he's a great kid. And you kind of brought up something there, Coach, that you played a lot of basketball growing up. Do you feel like kids should play multiple sports, or do you think they should specialize in football when they're in high school?
Definitely. I think you should definitely play multiple sports because you gain so many advantages from every sport. I mean, every sport is so unique, and the advantages that you gain athletically by being a multi-sport guy are huge. I mean, just from agility, speed, hand-eye coordination, there's so many things you can gain that you may not get from the game of football, but can also aid you in the game of football. So I definitely encourage all the multi-sport athletes out here to keep playing multiple sports. And, you know, you'll get to that point where you're in 10th, 11th grade where you'll figure out, you know what, this is the one I kind of have a chance to go to the next level in. This is the one I could possibly get a scholarship in. And you'll figure it out which is the best for you. And at that point, you can kind of specialize in that area. But as a kid, I like to joke and say that my mom didn't have to look for me. She knew I was at the basketball court. She would come. Our basketball court was just like, I mean, it was like Rucker Park. I mean, it was 100, it'd be 100 players and kids and girls and just everybody would be at that basketball court. My mom did not have to look for me. That's where I was at.
Was being around the right crowd, being around the right friends, was that something that was an issue for you coming up in high school?
You know what? It never really was an issue for me because I credit that to my grandfather, who was like my dad. My grandfather was an amazing man. His name is Al Broussard. And I give him all the credit for that because he always taught me from an early age to have my own mind. And when he said that, when he used to basically teach me this, I believed it. All of his teachings as far as, like, being strong and being an individual and having your own mind and you're a king, and I took that to heart, and I actually believed it. I really believed it. And so when I got to high school, peer pressure to me, it was like nothing. Like, anyone that tried to convince me to do something or say, I looked at them and just laughed. Like, really? Like, dude, I have my own mind and my own person. Like, you know, find the next guy with that. Miss me with it. So it never really affected me at all as far as, like, getting tied up in the wrong crowd. Now, the thing about me is I maintained a lot of popularity. So I was very in tune and cool and hung out with some guys that probably weren't doing the right thing. They probably were doing the wrong thing. And hopefully I was a positive influence on them. But once they started doing their negative stuff, I vacated. I said, hey, I'll see you later. You know, but I maintained a great relationship with some guys today that didn't turn out so well, you know, as far as their adult life, as far as the choices that they made. But I was able to be cool with everybody in school. Like, I was able to really be a popular guy with students without getting influenced on what they wanted to do. I would look at it like, hey, that's your life and that's what you want to do, but I'm going to go my direction. You can follow or you can go your direction. But the main thing my grandfather always instilled is not to follow anybody.
That's great. You took that to heart, Coach Bruin. And I see we have another caller as well. And you guys forgive us. We've got a couple points that I really want Coach Brew to get to. So we'll try to save some time at the end of the show to take another call. But for right now, we're going to keep on moving on. So you decided to really dedicate yourself to football in high school as you got into the upper classes. When you were running track and playing football as you got older, did you know that you wanted to try to go to college for football, or were you still considering track?
Well, to be honest with you, my original goal in life was to get to the Olympics in 100 meters, 100 and 200 meters. At the time in high school, I was a 10th grader, and I was clocking 10.36s. And I felt like we never really had, like, a qualified, like, you know, specialist type of sprinter or track coach. Our track coach was the softball coach coming over to track just to, you know, make ends meet. And so I never really had the proper training, but I had a lot of natural ability. And my first love was track and field. Consider myself a track guy that played football. I consider myself a football guy because I was a football junkie ever since I was a kid. I was basically like a rain man, like a real live rain man of players. If anyone has ever seen that movie with Dustin Hoffman, Rain Man, you could name any player in the state of Florida, and I can tell you every detail about him because I was comparing myself to these guys. I would study Super Prep. I would study Blue Chip. I would study, at the time we didn't have Rivals or Scout, we had Blue Chip and Super Prep. And I would study these magazines, and I would study these players from other counties. And Florida's just, it's a football state, you know. And so just doing these things, I didn't really understand at the time that I would eventually get coached. And later on, 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road, I would see these same players coming out into pro football, and I would know so much about them. Like, I just had my memory bank of players was just really, 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 really deep, and so you know, that's kind of how things panned out that way. But as far as seeing myself going to college, I knew from an early age that I knew the route to the NFL was through college. I knew you just couldn't go from high school to the pros, and I knew I wanted to get a college education, and I knew I wanted to play college football. So I just had to stay focused to make it happen. And, you know, I ended up taking the long road, but at the end of the day, I'm still trying to get to the finish line, I should say.
And talk to us a little bit, Coach Brew, about when high school was over. Did you have any scholarship opportunities? What was the route you decided to take once high school was finally over?
Well, unfortunately, at my high school, I want to tell you I played a total of 11 career football games in the course of a three-year high school career, because my 11th grade year, I was diagnosed with a tumor in my jaw. I had a benign tumor that was non-cancerous in my jaw, and it basically ate away a lot of my jawbone, so I didn't have a very secure jawbone. So I ended up missing a complete year of football. So not only did my mom have me sit out the 9th grade, and then I played my 10th grade year, but the 11th grade I had the problem with my jaw, so I missed my 11th grade year. And then my senior year, I came back just completely not focused, played three games, which is unfortunate because my high school went all the way to the state championship. One state championship, 6A, the biggest classification in Florida, beat the number one high school football team in the nation, Miami Southridge, in the state championship game, and we were ranked USNA number 14 in the nation, and I wasn't a part of it. I didn't get to play on that team because, you know, three games into the season, I was DQ'd for academics, just not being focused. And so out of high school, I had no scholarships offers, none at all. And so at that point, my mother was like, hey, you need to go in the military. And I felt like, you know, I felt like I'm almost a world-class sprinter. Why would I go in the military? I want to go run track. And I had a strong mind. I want to do what I wanted to do. And so my mom was like, well, you don't have the grades, so how are you going to make that work? How are you going to make it happen? So she kept encouraging me to go in the military. So within about 2 years of just not having anything materialize as far as getting a scholarship, I ended up going into the Air Force. And I absolutely hated it. It was not the career decision that I wanted for my life. It was what she wanted. But trying to please your mother, as a lot of us do, I chose to do that. I went into the Air Force. I didn't like it at all. Within a year, I found a way to get out of the Air Force. I ended up moving to Tallahassee. That's when I started training with the Florida State guys. And I ended up walking through the mall randomly, just by chance. I ran into a coach from Tallahassee Lincoln High School, and he remembered me from coaching against me. Asked me, was I playing college? What was I doing? He felt like I was a talented kid and I should be playing college ball. I told him I wasn't. I didn't have an opportunity because of academics. And so he ended up giving me a flyer. He had a flyer on him. The flyer was to a combine that he does every year, that he hosts every year for anyone with college eligibility. I ended up training for this combine, getting in the best shape of my life for about 2 months. I ended up going out to the combine. It was over 356 participants in this guy's combine. And I ended up doing really, really well. I ranked fourth out of everybody in the combine. I came away with a 4.36 40. I always could run really well. And that was my forte. I did really well in one-on-one drills. At the combine, you had some junior colleges. You had some NAIA schools and Division II schools. And from this combine, I ended up getting a partial scholarship to go to Pasadena City College in California. I got on a Greyhound bus with $600 in my pocket, and I took a chance. I didn't know anybody in California. My whole family told me I was crazy for going that far away from home with so little money at such a young age. I got on the bus. I went to California, a two-day bus ride, got off. And I ended up playing junior college football out there for two seasons and doing really well. I was my team's special teams MVP. I was my forte in football really was kick returner, punt returner. I blossomed at that. And that's how I got my opportunity in college. Yeah, it was on a partial tuition and book scholarship.
Great stuff, man. And really just hearing you. Are you willing to bet on yourself? That's big, and a lot of kids need to hear that. So talk to us a little bit about, because, you know, one of the main reasons I wanted you to come into the locker room and speak to the kids is that you do have so much coaching experience, and you have that coach's perspective on things. What was it that made you say, hey, when I hang up the cleats as a player, I want to get into coaching?
You know what? It's kind of funny you ask that because I never saw myself as a coach. After playing football, as I may have mentioned earlier, my goal in life was to become an investment banker. That's what I really wanted to do as far as career. Of course, I wanted to play in the NFL, but if I didn't see any light in the tunnel with that happening, this was my plan B. At the time, I had a friend. His name was Joseph Aiken, a childhood friend, played Catholic ball with him. And he would always encourage me, for some reason, to stay in the football. He just felt like I was tailor-made for the game of football, and he felt like, hey, Kirk, if you can't play, why don't you be a coach, is what he said to me one day. And I thought to myself, a coach, like, and I didn't know much about coaching, but I just, my reply to him was, I don't want to be a coach. And he's like, why not? You were such a smart player, man. You would be an awesome coach. And he just kind of encouraged me to do it. I started thinking about it. I started doing some research on coaches, and I had a lot of things that came with coaching that really attracted me. And so that prompted me to pursue an avenue to get myself into coaching, which was really difficult because I didn't have any experience coaching. And so I ended up basically applying for an internship in the Arena Football League back in 2005. And after I did not get a reply, I ended up basically sending my resume to him again, calling him again, and didn't get a reply. And so I decided that I was going to call him every week and send my resume once a week or once every 2 weeks until he replied to me. And then finally, one day he called me back with a kind of an angry tone in his voice, and he was like, what do you want? And I was like, sir, I want an opportunity. And I started my first internship at the end of 2005, going into 2006. And that's how I got into coaching, or that's how I ended up coaching.
Great story, great story. So you've coached at all various ranks of football, you know, whether it was high school, college, arena, and most recently an NFL opportunity. Do you feel like kids neglect some of the other opportunities that football has to offer, and that there is too much attention spent as far as being a player?
Well, unfortunately, I've coached on the Arena League, NFL, and college. I have not got to coach on the high school level yet, but ultimately when I retire from NFL coaching, I would like to go in and coach high school because I love that age group. But I do feel like there are so many opportunities and there's so many jobs within football if you are pursuing a playing career in football. And the nature of football, it's a violent game, and it's unpredictable on, you know, your health-wise. And so it's great to prepare yourself for other opportunities in football. If you just love the game and you really want to be around it, there's so many other opportunities that you can prepare yourself for even while you're still playing. If you're a high school player, you know, you could pull your high school coach to the side and say, hey, coach, would you mind if I watch film with you? And you may not realize it, but you're preparing yourself for possibly a coaching career, or you're preparing yourself for a personnel career. There's so many jobs in scouting, personnel, general manager. There's so many different avenues you can take to work in football positions. There's, each coaching staff in the NFL may have 15, 16, 17 coaches. You know, so there's a ton of opportunities that kids can take advantage of. And, I kind of get frustrated a little bit now because this year I turned 36, and I'm seeing a lot of coaches that are on the NFL level, and they've been coaching for, and they're my age, and they've been coaching football for 18 years. And I wonder, how is that possible? But I look at their resume, and some of these coaches started coaching when they were 20 years old. And I wish I would have started. I wish I would have started at that age, but I didn't start coaching until I was 28, and so they got a bit of a head start. But if I would have known what I know now, I would have taken advantage of all of the resources that I got through football, you know, just all of the coaches that you meet and that coach you. And, you know, you never know. You may be knocking on a coach's door in 5-6 years asking for a job just to stay around the game and be involved in the game, because it's such a beautiful game, as we all know.
And I'm sure – and kind of your take to it, you know, that you'll make that time up. I'm sure that your shot is coming really, really soon. As far as coaching at the college level, Kirk, and then having the opportunity to coach with the Vikings and most recently the Detroit Lions, I know talent is a differentiator between the two levels, but outside of talent, what is it about the pro got him from the college kid?
Oh yeah, definitely. The biggest difference that I see in possibly a major Division I elite college football player and an NFL player, it's not athleticism, because they're pretty close a lot of times, sometimes in athleticism. The biggest difference is focus and concentration and consistency. Working in the NFL, I rarely notice guys dropping footballs, receivers. They catch 90% of the things you throw to them in practice. Very, very consistent. They come to work with a workman's attitude. Just a good story in Detroit. You know, we had a situation to where, you know, we'd have off days, and, you know, we would have guys that come up on an off day just to get maintenance on their body, you know, just to get a little maintenance on their knees, to get a massage. They really take care of their bodies, you know, diet-wise, and they take care of their bodies just in the training room. So oftentimes in college, you may see a guy that's not as developed, you know, when it comes to off the field, taking care of your body or being focused. In our meeting rooms, in our positional meetings, there's no goofing off. Nobody's goofing off. Everybody's locked in and they're focused. It's a job. So it's definitely a different concentration level. And I would say that's the biggest difference as far as the players on both levels.
And for those who are just joining on with us, we're in the Before You Go Pro locker room. We have Coach Kirk Broussard. He's coached at the college level, the arena football level, and now recently in the NFL. You can feel free to call in, area code 310-807-5195. We've got a few minutes left if you got a question for Coach. And, Coach, we definitely appreciate your time. You recently went to the NFL Combine, and can you talk to us about that experience a little bit? Was there anything that caught your eye or any major takeaways from that experience?
Yeah, definitely. I did recently spend a few days at the Combine. It's something that I do annually each year. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes at the Combine. I mostly went for that. But I was able to access the workouts and observe, you know, different guys' performances. And, you know, there were some guys that really stood out. There's some guys that, you know, really, you know, dotted I's and crossed T's, but there's a few guys with some question marks. You know, one of the guys that really, really stood out to me was Sammy Watkins. If I had a top five pick, that kid would definitely be somebody I would possibly take. He really stood out, the guy, the receiver from Clemson. And, you know, so there were a number of guys. It's a very important place to be, because you have every NFL coach, every general manager, every scout, you know, they're all in town, in the house, you know, for that event. So it's very good to watch the events and gather your own assessments on how guys do and how guys perform under pressure, you know, because these guys, the one thing that a lot of the guys, you know, in your audience Before You Go Pro need to be aware of is that these guys are evaluated not just at the Combine, but the NFL teams do a research and history on you all the way back to 5th, 6th, 7th grade. You know, they're talking to teachers, and they want to – it's a saying in the NFL that we draft – when we don't draft players, we draft people. So it's basically saying we look at your character. You know, we want to know who we're getting, because this is a business, and they put a lot of money into that investment. So, you know, what you do now, you may not think it would ever hurt you or harm you if it's the wrong thing, but these teams – They do their homework. So, you know, even now at your age, you need to be on the right track and you need to be focused. You know, it all starts now. So that's one of the biggest things I got out of the NFL Combine, just seeing the rigorous interviews that they put these players through. You know, it's exhausting, because a lot of these players arrive on a flight, and from the moment they get off the flight, they got interviews, and they got interviews all night. And then they're required to be up early in the morning and perform. So you don't get much sleep. So, you know, it requires players to start preparing for that early.
In your opinion, Coach Broussard, do you feel like some guys end up hurting themselves or losing money because of how they interview with teams?
Definitely. I would say that's probably one of the biggest things that can hurt you, you know. And it requires you to start preparing yourself now to learn how to articulate, to learn how to speak properly and learn how to carry yourself in an interview. Because if you ever are fortunate enough to reach that level, you know, that is the biggest interview of your life that you probably will ever have as far as financially, you know, the opportunities that you can get out of it. You know, so it's something that it's a once in a life chance, once in a lifetime opportunity that you just don't want to blow. So, you know, I just feel like, you know, a lot of guys hurt themselves because some of the questions you're going to get asked, you have to be aware that the questions are designed to try to get to rattle you. You know, like I read something recently that they asked the UCF quarterback Bortles. They asked him if his girlfriend was going to come out to dinner with him, you know, thinking that it would upset him and, you know, who are you asking about my girlfriend, thinking that it would rattle him. And he answered it cool, calm, and, you know, he was just like, no, she won't be there, you know. But they'll ask you anything to try to get under your skin just to see who you are, to see what makes you tick. So you have to be prepared for that.
Great stuff. And we're finishing up here in just maybe in about a minute. Can you tell me, Coach, if you could kind of go back to Coach Broussard in high school, maybe when you were doing your thing in Florida and you had your eyes set on college ball, is there anything that you would say to a young Coach Broussard coming out of Florida high school that maybe that you would do different, or just any words of advice that you would have told yourself back then if you knew then what you know now?
Definitely. Back then, I really considered myself a very mature kid. And, you know, there were people like my grandfather who would get – there were some people to where, you know, they would tell me things about focus and dedication. And I would hear them, but it would kind of go in one ear and out the other. I would listen closer to those people. I would apply the things that they taught me to my lifestyle back then. And I would come out with a lot more focus, a lot more dedication. I thought I was dedicated, and I thought I had discipline, but I didn't. I didn't have as much as I needed to make my road easier to get where I'm trying to get now. Because there's no doubt about it, talent-wise, I felt like I was a Division I athlete, but I just did not have the structure or the focus. And instead of me sitting around and waiting for someone to bring me that structure and that focus, I should have really buckled down and did it on my own. And so if I could speak to myself at a younger age, that's one of the things I would definitely instill, that I pick up my focus, I pick up my dedication, I work out harder, I take better care of my body, and I could have made my road a lot easier than the road I took to get where I'm going, you know. But at the end of the day, God brings you through different obstacles to test you out, to make you stronger, and I truly believe that. And I feel like I don't regret my road that I took, and I also feel like my road ended up making me stronger, and it better prepare me for the obstacles that I'm going to take on in the future, being in such a competitive business.
Well, Coach, you got an amazing testimony, and once again, we appreciate you so much. And I know the kids got a lot out of tonight's show, and we're wishing the best for you and rooting you on, and we can't wait to see you on the NFL sidelines again. Thank you very much, Coach.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you guys. Great audience, great questions. And hopefully, you know, I can come back and share some other things with you guys in the future.
Perfect. You definitely have an open invitation. So there you guys have it. That is Coach Broussard, recently with the Detroit Lions. Hopefully you got a lot out of tonight. Please check out our website, www.beforeyougopro.com, for much more hard-hitting content like tonight. And we'll be back next Tuesday for another great locker room show. We'll see you at the top.